Hokies falling out of the top 25 as expected, but they've got other things to worry about, like their offense, their defense, and Notre Dame this Saturday. 3:30 on Fox Sports 910 and also on 96.1 The Planet. John Lazor joining us, the voice of the Hokies, brought to you by Cowan Gates. All right, I know it's time to move on. I know it's time to look at Notre Dame and this odd dynamic of going out of conference, but what was most head-scratching about that loss to Saturday to Georgia Tech?
Yeah, I think it's the offense, Wes, because there was the concern going in about your physical level of ability to stop the triple option without having Terrell Edmonds out with the targeting suspension and all the guys that you've had to shuffle on the defensive line. And then you could add that to the mix because for the most part you did appear to be healthy minus Greg Stroman. But offensively, it was the second consecutive week where you just looked out of sync, and also the third time this year that you've looked out of sync, Syracuse being the other occasion. And I think what's troubling about it for Virginia Tech and what they have been scratching their heads about is this is the adjustment from college football. This is what people are seeing on film. You're not getting the man cover outside anymore. You're not able to throw the ball over the top, and you're not able to throw some of those back shoulder fades. So it's time for the Hokies to make the adjustments to have some of those quicker hitting plays, not necessarily the swings and the dumps that we've seen them have success with over the previous few weeks, but I'm talking about the slants and the angles and playing things 10 to 15 yards off the line of scrimmage. So obviously Justin Fuente, Brad Cornelison know that better than anybody, and I wouldn't be surprised to see a dramatically different offensive game plan against Notre Dame this week.
Is that when Cornelison said yesterday, I saw this last night, he said we're making mistakes in week 9 and 10 that we shouldn't be making?
Well, and yeah, and absolutely. And if you wanted to make an excuse for this offense, it's because they've been a victim of their own success to some degree. Jerod Evans hasn't necessarily had to be all that precise in the mid-range passing game, Wes, and you haven't had to have the conventional run game and get Trayvon McMillan into a rhythm along with Marshawn Williams because, again, you can get away with missing a pass or two when you hit a 40 or 50-yarder like Jerod Evans has been capable of doing, and maybe those safety valves on the outside have gotten them into some bad habits. And we saw all of that, and I mean all of it, manifest itself on Saturday against Georgia Tech, Wes, because I think in a lot of years of doing this, and not just football, but a lot of sports, that was the most thoroughly, I think, disappointing performance that you could say that many people have seen all the way across all phases and all four quarters.
Was it mental? Because it looked like, and you know, I'm hearing Jerod Evans after the game saying, hey, we were focused, and Bud Foster saying we had a good week of practice, and then I don't know if it was the moment at hand. I don't know if it was Duke upset North Carolina, and all of a sudden it was right there in front of them. But they just mentally looked off, Lace.
Yeah, it wasn't that. It wasn't a mental lack of preparation or a mental lack of drive or wanting to get it done that day against Georgia Tech. I made this comparison, Wes, and I think a lot of people will understand what I mean by this. It's in life when you go into something with a game plan and you have a vision and you spend a lot of time looking at the way things are going to go. I keep using the golf analogy of, okay, here we go and here's hole one. I'd certainly like to be in the middle and hit an easy wedge in there and two putt for par. And the next thing you know, you pull hook your drive a little bit, you're behind a tree and you're trying to chase things. And I think that fumble, and I don't mean to single out Darion Green because I know he felt tremendously terrible about it, but that just put you off kilter. And then after that, when you went three and out offensively your first series, it was the mental concern and maybe even panic from this team at that point because they were so far off what they'd been preached to all week that they needed to do. So again, I don't think it was a lack of preparation or a wrong place mentally coming in, but I think they definitely got to that place. And then when you're at home and you see things going away from you, I think it's easy at that time to press, and all those things came in. So it was the snowball effect without question for the Hokies on Saturday. And I think the silver lining is when that happens to you, it's not necessarily a fundamental issue more than an aberrational one. And I think that's the way that they look at things going up to Notre Dame this week.
John Lazor brought to you by Cowan Gates each and every Wednesday. Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff and there for you in any case. I know you like to, what you see in practice, you like to keep private, and I respect that. But just in general, from being around the team, what's the feel that you get as they bounce back? And they've got Notre Dame and very unusual dynamic coming on both Saturday where they go out of conference.
Well, it's not necessarily, Wes, that I like to keep it private. It's that I like to keep being invited to practice, which is why
well,
I have
good
to
point.
Keep it private. But, no, I think that a lot of times, buddy, you know, we're 37 years old, basically, and a lot of the listeners are probably in that age range, and we have more introspective ways of looking at things, and that leads us to being more troubled about things. And for these players and also the coaches, because I think they have more of a knowledge than we do as to exactly what went wrong and what needs fixing, and they have the ability to fix it, I didn't get the sense of of the sky is falling like maybe I did throughout Blacksburg the day or so after that game. I think they feel fine. I think they still feel like they're a talented football team, certainly capable of beating anybody that they line up against, and that will apply to Notre Dame and also to Virginia over their final two games. So it seems like business as usual. Whether that's good or bad, I'm not sure, but I certainly haven't noticed anything out of the ordinary this week.
First thing I see when I see Notre Dame is a quarterback who can beat you with his arm and his legs. What's the first thing when you look at the Irish, the first thing that popped out to you?
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, you look at a team with a record 4-6, and then you start breaking them down offensively, and you go, wow, this guy's pretty good, and Deshaun Kizer's obviously pretty good, and then they've got Zaire as well if they wanted to go that direction as well. And as they'll tell you, the Hokies will tell you, you break down the film, and it's kind of like when you used to look at Miami, Wes, and you go, how does this team have this record? Because they've got NFL talent all across the board, and that's Notre Dame. So at any given time, you know that those teams are capable of beating you, particularly on individual plays, which has been the Hokies' Achilles heel over a couple of weeks. So that concerns you from the offensive side. And then on the defensive side, it's kind of like when you break down some of these teams where you've expected Virginia Tech's offense to go nuts and they haven't. So that concerns you just for the fact that it hasn't happened in the past, because this game should be a game where you have offensive success and maybe they do as well. And you see which offense can outplay the other. So that's concerning. And then the fact that it's a road game, obviously, in what will be a very hostile environment for the Hokies this week is also on that list.
And I was reading some stuff. You know, beat guys are usually guys to give you the fair, well, not always the fair and honest assessment, but they're the ones who are more critical, more detailed. And I was reading some stuff from the beat guys in South Bend, and I thought Justin Fuente nailed this the other day, and you think about it more and more. Since Notre Dame fired their defensive coordinator, we don't really know everything about them. They played a couple triple option teams. They did beat Syracuse. They held Stanford to 17 points. They did beat Miami, and this defense as a whole, and I know stats and numbers can be manipulated, but they actually now have a top 40 defense. Like, you're not really sure exactly what Notre Dame's defense is, and that probably only makes them more dangerous in the end because of the unknowns.
Yeah, precisely, and a lot of those numbers are skewed because they seem to be in a bit of disarray over the first 3 weeks of the season before they made that change. So you're absolutely right. This is another defense that, when you look at the statistics, you should have success against, but at the same time potentially is playing a lot better than they were earlier on in the season, now have a scheme and seem to have a direction. So there's a reason why this game seems to be a pick 'em, and between two teams that you're not quite certain what you're going to get, and that's been the Hokies a little bit, unfortunately, too, in terms of being able to script what you're doing going in and knowing which football team that you're going to have, because we've seen the ceiling for the Hokies, and I think we saw the floor last week against Georgia Tech. And Wes, this is one where you're going up there, and myself personally, I can say this, I have no idea which way it's going to go. I can see the Hokies going up there and routing Notre Dame, and I can see it the other way too.
John Lazor, Mike Burnup, Andrew Allegretta all making the trip. 3:30 on Saturday, coverage begins at 2 on Fox Sports 910, and they're going to get some company this weekend. Me. We'll talk about the things that we're excited to see in Notre Dame. Oh, yeah. It's going to be a good time. And I'm bringing some company with me. I'll tell you who next. We'll get to the road trip to Notre Dame. Also, how did Buzz's boys look on the court last night? More with John Lazor, brought to you by Cowan Gates on Fox Sports 910. Saturday, 3:30, Xfinity Series Championship. The Final Four, including Elliot Sadler, who will join us at 8:40. Wes McElroy, John Lazor. Brought to you by Cowan Gates, Saturday at 3:30, Virginia Tech and Notre Dame. We're going to talk a little Notre Dame tourism here in a second. But first, Lays last night on the call, Virginia Tech men's basketball defeating High Point 99-73. I was in here doing VCU duties. How did Buzz's boys look last night?
They looked really good, particularly in the first half, and I think Buzz was very pleased with the effort of his team last night, Wes, which is not always the case, even in victories and maybe after that main win to start the season. And he had told me going into the game, he said, Lays, these guys need to pick it up. They need to understand that they need to take steps forward now before their schedule gets a little bit tighter when they go out to Anaheim and take on New Mexico and potentially some other quality teams there and then have Michigan on national television. And I think his team responded to that. I thought they played much better defensively last night, leading to some opportunities in transition. I thought it was pretty widespread in terms of guys buying into the game plan last night. Ahmed Hill was fantastic, but Buzz actually singled out Seth Allen and Chris Clark, who played a very unselfish game, particularly in the second half yesterday. So it was a rout of a team in High Point that has had success recently but is rebuilding to some degree after losing a very significant chunk of their starting lineup. But all things considered, it wasn't a dramatic win by any means, but it was definitely a solid one for the Hokies.
Hokies back on the floor Saturday, 7 o'clock. The game can be heard on 96.1 The Planet. Let's do a little lightning round, Lays. Five questions for Lays from me. Five questions from Lays for me. You want to go first? Go for it.
Tony Romo yesterday with that statement, it was classy and all of that, Wes, but it really made me sad, and I think that's because I'm about the same age as Tony, and I remember the high times when he was dating Jessica Simpson and life was good and he could have been a member of 98 Degrees. Just don't feel good about it. You?
Felt the exact same way. I was kind of like that, you know, that transition period where, you know, what's the Toby Keith song? I ain't as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. You know, you can have those moments, but life moves on. It's not the same. What I liked about it and what I thought was a teachable moment is how Romo was handling it. But yes, I had that same thought of, man, we're getting old. Next. You take a lot of road trips, basketball and football, but because of history of college football and Virginia Tech's first matchup against Notre Dame, why is this road trip special?
Well, it's just because of what Notre Dame Stadium is and who that program has been through the years. But it's interesting. Justin Fuente told me the other night, Wes, that he said all of these things to his guys and recognized the hallowed place that they were going to and said, guys, you know, we can alter our travel. We can go up there a little early if you guys want to look around and take your pictures and get that out of the way. And they all said, nah, we're good. We'd rather just go win the game. And I think that's because Notre Dame hasn't necessarily been a prominent program in their lifetime, save for a couple of years, and it's certainly not regionally impactful the way it is in the Midwest and some other areas of the country. So, you know, it's definitely special for me. Personally, it'll be a lot of fun for me. I don't know how special the guys on the team are looking at it, though.
Do you realize Jerrod Evans wasn't born yet when Rudy came out?
Yeah, I know, and he might not know who Rudy is either. I'm going to ask him.
That will make you feel old. Next!
Phenomenal college game last night between Kansas and Duke. Number one goes down. There's already been a couple of good games this year, Wes, but if a tree falls in the woods and nobody's around to hear it, did it actually happen? Why do we not wait until December to start college hoops?
I wish we would. I wish we would wait right after we get done the conference championships in football. Actually, I wish we get done the regular season and then have basketball that week leading into the conference championships in football. I do like the 24-hour marathon. It does have that basketball feel to it, but you're right. Overall, and I know VCU fans won't want to hear this, UVA fans won't want to hear this, but college basketball gets so lost this time of the year. If they moved it to December, if they moved the start, if they delayed it, if they even delayed March Madness down the road into April, I would be all on board with that. Under the current condition of college football, the chaos that we supposedly have, does this make you enjoy a 14 playoff more, or do you want 8 ASAP?
No, I'm fine with 4, to be quite honest with you, because I think that all we're really looking to do is identify the top two teams and have them have a chance to play for the national championship, and I think you're going to have that. And Alabama is clearly one of those teams this year, and I think once you get to 5, 6, 7, 8, you've got teams that are significantly flawed and probably aren't in that elite class. So I'm fine with 4, to be honest with you, and that shakeup last weekend I don't think changed things as dramatically as people thought. I think it just identified more thoroughly who those top four teams may be. I can see the argument for 8, but I'm fine with 4.
Next.
I feel like I've got a first-class ticket to a train wreck this weekend, Wes, when Jared Goff starts. You see it any differently?
You're actually going to watch the Rams this weekend?
Potentially.
Okay.
Probably not. I'll be on a plane back from South Bend. But
I was going to say, who am I to judge? You know what? I really do wonder, after the limited stuff that I saw, I can't say that I'm a Rams beat guy, but after seeing some of those clips on Hard Knocks where that dude just had no clue, like he would get it verbatim from the offensive coordinator, take 5 steps into the huddle and go, huh? This could be worth watching at least in the first half on Sunday. One more. Skittles has built a custom vending machine for Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown. Like a Skittles vending machine in his home. Casa de Laser, what candy bar vending machine would you want?
Well, I don't need to have a candy bar vending machine at my house, Wes, because I've got Renee, and she is a sugar addict in the first degree. We've got a bowl right now. It has nothing to do with Halloween recently passed. It's filled with Twix. It's filled with Snickers. It's filled with Kit Kats. I think at some point we just have a bowl of powdered sugar that I could just dip my face in and rub it around a little bit. So we're doing fine on that front.
She's staring at you right now, isn't she?
Yeah, and she's not happy.
Okay. Give her a kiss for me. See you, buddy. See you in Notre Dame on Saturday.
I'll see you then. And so long, Blair Walsh. We'll miss you.
John Lazer, spoken like a true Vikings fan. And yes, thank you for some of you sending over your recommendations, as I will be headed out to South Bend taking a little bit of a road trip this weekend. Send him over. Keep sending him over. What to do in South Bend at Notre Dame at West. Fox Sports 910.